going to start a series this morning, a couple weeks at least, and it's going to help define what the Lord has called this church to do. And I'm going to get, it's kind of exciting because we've had some really good meetings the last couple weeks regarding going into 2022, getting a fresh perspective. 2020, you know, the whole pandemic and all the stuff that came, it really deters you in getting some focus. And then this last year, we're still kind of, there's so much stuff going on. But I really believe that 2022, we want to re-engage the church to become who we're called to be. We are. So if you look at the vision statement out in the foyer, it says we are a prophetic, spirit-filled body of believers. What does that mean? We're going to get to that today. But the other part of it is that on January, as you mark your calendars, I'm going to actually have you mark your calendars even better for me. Not only are we going to have an awesome dinner December 19th, we're going back to our old ways. We're going to have a dinner and a fellowship night. Yes, there'll be a play. The kids will have fun. But all of us others that don't have kids and grandkids in there, we can come together and have a really awesome meal and fellowship and really celebrate the reason why we're here, and that is the birth of Christ. And so the Sunday morning, we'll still do a shortened service. We'll do an extended dinner and play and just some a really awesome time. But on January 9th, if you want to mark your calendars for that one, we are going to also have a strange but different but great Sunday morning service. We are going to have a vision setting a challenge for every one of us to go into the new year, and then we're going to, like we do in January, we're going to begin some fasting. Some are going to start earlier, that's fine. But that morning, we're going to come together and set out some challenges and some goals for this church to accomplish in 2022. We want to set those goals out for you guys to fulfill, because as a church, we are the church. Not just, you know, we had a great leadership meeting yesterday morning. The leaders came, and then we had some, we had a lot of stuff, really, really some great vision being set. But the only way that we're going to fulfill the vision is what? Is if we, the church, do it. It's kind of like in the United States of America, the only way that we are going to accomplish freedom is if we, the people, continue to stand on those freedoms. And, you know, I do appreciate some of the texts that I received last week. And again, I want to make this very clear. If you notice that Southwest, I made the announcement last week, that Southwest took a stand. And then other airlines have. Others have not. Chick-fil-A has taken their stand. And In-N-Out Burger. And, you know, here's the deal. I'm going to make this very clear. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. This is not about who does or does not take the poke, the shot, or a vaccine. Okay? It's not about that. It's about as believers, it's more than that. Are we going to stand up for what we believe in? And whether it, and don't make it about a vaccine. Let's make it about when, I really do believe the church is seeing more persecution now than we know, because we're in a we're in the great Midwest. We're in Martinsville. We're in Indiana. We're a very, very conservative state. But there are churches all over the world being persecuted for what they believe. And it is coming to the church. And if we don't start taking a stand on small things, we're going to find ourselves compromising on big things. You know, I don't mean to go ahead and hype up the issues about transgenderism and homosexuality. I think Kenny shared this from the pulpit a couple weeks ago or months ago, was that we don't even really talk about some of the homosexual things because it's now okay. We've had meetings in our community with pastors, this community, Martinsville, Indiana, that over half the pastors or representatives from their church thought it was okay for their leadership to be involved in homosexuality. And one of the pastors actually went out far. This is a great statement, by the way. Please don't laugh as loud as I did. As long as they don't practice it. So I can be gay but not practice it. Folks, what in the world? Why are we trying to justify behavior? Well, you can think it, but don't do it. So tell your kids that one day. That's going to work well. Teach your children how to raise them that way. You're going to see some strange. Well, we were seeing a lot of strange things happen. No, you live what you believe it and you do it. And if you teach them it's okay to feel that way but not act on it, you're literally telling them, well, you're okay to feel this way, but you're bad to do it. That's a contradiction. We're lying to them. These feelings are, the Bible calls them unnatural. Okay, we can go through a whole thing on this. It's perversion. As a church, it's not that we hate homosexuals. We do not. I've had the privilege, truly the privilege, of sitting across a table and praying with a homosexual to be saved. And they, by the way, are an ordained minister in the north side of Indianapolis today, still today, married with children. You can be set free, and you can have a life that God intended for them. But the problem is the church has to stand on something. And if we don't take a stand, we're going to be okay with just compromise here. Next thing you know, we've got boys wanting to go to girls' bathrooms, and we want, oh my goodness, we want boys to run in girls' races and wrestling, and you name, where does it stop? Oh, now we have this whole thing about pedophilia. That's okay now. It's in there. LGBTQ and then P is in there now. Right now we're just talking about the attraction between the older and the youngers. It's disgusting. It's perversion. At what line do we draw as a church? Now, I'm saying what I just said right there will kick us off of YouTube. According to their new standards. So I'm just letting you know, we're not being persecuted, brother. Oh, well, what do you mean? We can't speak what the Bible says anymore? Now, we might not be having the police come in and shutting us down, or we might not be having, like in Canada, a pastor being drugged from there and put into prison for having church during the anti-COVID things. But no, it is when we take a stand, we got to start now. Start when we know that the persecution, because when it does come, boy, it's a lot harder to take a stand when you know those things to be out. And I believe 2022, we're going to continue to stand. We're going to see God do miracles. I want to see, you know, Mario Merulo is out there preaching right now. The revival is here. We have to look for it. We have to believe that when there are souls out there that want to be saved, we have to go out there and preach the good news to them. Because Paul says very clearly, how are they going to hear without a messenger? We are the message. We are lives, our words, our behavior, they watch. And I believe the end times are closer than it's ever been. Jesus, I mean, he wants to part the sky today. I'm okay with that. But I also know that we are to live as he comes tomorrow, today, and whenever. We're supposed to live our lives ready for his appearing. So let's do this. Let's not just come to church. Let's be the church. In 2022, that's a big announcement for January 9th. Better be really good. We better really come up with a better plan. No, but I just want to set the stage that we want to see good things to come. I don't want to be a church that just has Sunday morning service and we're okay. We are a spirit-filled body of believers. And you know what? I was watching. Anybody remember Mark Lawrie? Anybody? A few people. He's a Christian comedian that traveled with the Gaithers. And I was watching it this week, and he's talking about a tornado that he had to go through, and he's laughing. And he makes the joke, it's not fair, you know, because he's talking about, he's actually hysterical, by the way. But he's very Baptist, and he said this, not me, so you can't criticize me for, I'm not judging the Baptist. I grew up Baptist. But he's talking about how he went through this tornado, and he's talking to the guys the next day, that would have been a lot more fun if I'd known I was going to live through it. You know, he's talking about this tornado, he went down his boat, and everything, and people were falling. And he goes, isn't that true in life? He said, but it's not fair, because all you Pentecostals out there, and this is what I want to encourage you, us Pentecostals with, all you Pentecostals out there, you can just see miracles and healings and the lame walk and the blind see. But us Baptists, all we do is live by faith. We don't get to see anything. Now, first of all, I'm going to argue with his statement, live by faith, because that's how we see miracles, right? So let's just deny the fact that what he said was actually wrong. But then, hey, he's a Baptist being taught by Baptists, like I grew up. I used to say that growing up my whole life. Well, I guess I just got to live by faith. You know what that means when you're Baptist or when you're the way I grew up? Let's not pick on the Baptist too much. It means we just got to try to persevere through it and get by it and hopefully believe that one day we'll have the reward. No, God wants to live the joy of salvation now, healing now. You know, I'm not being mean and criticizing anyone who doesn't believe this way, but why in the world would he teach us to have the lame walk, the blind see, the dead raised, people getting healed, all these things? And why is it so one day they can do it in heaven? Why not now? He teaches it for us to live that way now. And so when we want to be a church that's spirit-filled and ready to go, let's live this and have those expectations. So when I say I'm living a life of faith, I'm believing that the miracle is going to happen today. I'm still standing on things in my own life. We're all standing because that's the part of faith and perseverance will accomplish the fruit according to Hebrews chapter 6. And amazing. And that story, okay, let's get to our message this morning. All right, if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I don't know why. You know what? Give me 3 weeks off like that again, Kenny. I don't know where I'm going to go later. I can't find 1 Corinthians right now. All right, we're good. We are a spirit-filled, prophetic body of believers. What is the word? What does that mean? Spirit-filled. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe that not only are we born again and we are sealed. And by the way, just to correct bad Pentecostal teaching real quick, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost and when you get baptized, you don't go around telling everybody, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. No. You got him when you were born again. Okay, the Bible says you were sealed to the day of redemption. That seal is the power of the Spirit inside of you. Every single believer has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Every single believer. But the difference is, I believe, as a church, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as we go through the book, there's 9 occurrences in the book of Acts where they heard the gospel, but they didn't hear the power of the Spirit. And then they would go and pray and say, and Acts 19 is one of my favorites in Ephesus. He goes, you preach baptism, but have you received the power of the Holy Ghost? No. And he said they prayed for him and they started speaking in tongues and prophesying. That's a Spirit-filled church. See, it's not only are we going to live a life of salvation. That's the greatest blessing there is. By the way, you cannot be Spirit-filled and believe in healing still. Because that's covenant. That's believing that when I'm born again, I'm born to a family that is God's and he's mine, I'm his. And everything that belongs to me belongs to him and vice versa. So healing is mine because I'm a child of God. Not because I'm Spirit-filled. A Spirit-filled lifestyle releases the gifts and the operations of the Spirit to operate through you to the church and the world around us. That's Spirit-filled. And I'm not trying to say I know some great non-Spirit-filled folks that believe, the gifts passed away, but they still believe in healing. You know, because why? They believe in covenant. So they don't believe in the gifts of healing, but they believe in healing. I'm not understanding the difference myself, but that's just let them be. But so, and what happens is we take this, and so we're gonna get there in just a minute. But first of all, let's define the first six verses of 1 Corinthians 14 here about prophecy. Follow after love, and if you go, let me just catch you up real quick. Chapter 12, we talked about the Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We'll call them the gifts of Spirit for you guys because that's what we call them. But if you look at chapter 12, verse 6, it says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And that means we're all given the ability to manifest the Holy Spirit through our lives. And so they go through all those things, the 9 manifestation gifts, activations in our life, and then it goes through the body of Christ being one, and he talks about how we can operate as one body. The toe can't say, the eye, I don't need you. The hand can't say, the foot, I don't want you. We need each other to build the body. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says, even though you have great giftings and though you're awesome, if you don't do it in love, you're worthless. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. I don't think Paul said you're worthless, but I did. So Paul just said you're a clanging cymbal, by the way. Well, that's kind of worthless. So you have the giftings, but you don't have the character. You don't have the love that pursues it. You don't have your faith working in love. You just have a lot of, you look good on the outside, but you know when it comes down to it, you're not very loving. And then it talks about what love is. And then he talks about, which we're going to get to in just a minute, when the perfect comes, the imperfect should be done away with. Some people believe that's the point when the gifts don't exist, but we're going to skip that till a minute from now. And then he goes into chapter 14. Now we've talked about the gifts, the manifestations, the love, and now he goes, follow after love and desire spiritual. And you notice the word gifts is italicized. Once again, I'm not trying to make a big deal about doctrine here, but the word, an italicized word in the scripture means to add it for reference. So I just think, imagine it reading like this, but follow after love and desire to be spiritual, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit the Spirit he speaks mysteries. And when you, we'll stop there. Oh, no. But he that prophesies speaks to the edification, we're going to get to this next week, and the exhortation and the comfort. He that speaks in unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would, now don't, here's Paul already. He's not going to differentiate here. I would that you all spoke in tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues, except he interpret, that the church may be edified. So the context here is not about whether tongues or prophecy is greater than one another. It's in the church. Prophecy is more proper because people can't understand what you're doing. Romans 8:26, one of my verses I love, it says, we do not know how to pray as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings that are unintelligible words. That is how, when we pray, and the next verse goes on to say, and this is how you pray the perfect will of God. When you understand that when you're in a problem, you're going through something, and you want to, Jude tells us in this, building yourself up in the most holy of faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? That is when you can activate the tongues and the spiritual language and the prayer that you have. This is when spirit-filled folks know how to build themselves up. If you're going through a trial, and you're going through something in your life, I believe this with everything in me. If you're in worship and you don't even, the words on the screen just don't utter the heart you have, begin to sing in the Spirit to yourself. You don't have to make it loud because you're not here to make a scene. You're here to let your spirit connect with God. And so that's what tongues is for. Tongues is for you to communicate with God. And yes, there is the gift of tongues with the interpretation of tongues, yes. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12. And that's when Paul says, hey, I want you all to speak in tongues, but I'd rather in church that you prophesy. So at this church here, we are hoping and believing that we don't, just because you don't see a bunch of prophecy happening all the time, it doesn't mean that we don't want to encourage every one of you in this room to learn what it means, the power of prophecy. So we're going to do some stuff this morning to define and simplify what prophecy is. So I have actually asked for some help today because we have a prayer leader at the church that does on Tuesday nights. They do classes that are teaching people how to walk in the prophetic and how to understand, to hear the voice of the Lord clearly. And Tim, are you going to come up and share? Yes, you are. Okay, good. So I talked to Tim. He's going to share something too. And so as we do it, just I want you to hear from different. You always get to hear from Kenny and I. I'd like for you to hear a little bit different perspective. They both have prepared something to share a little bit. And then I'm going to get back up and keep going because I have some awesome stuff that is I'm going to close with in just a minute. So not that they won't be awesome, but I got some stuff. So let me hand this over to Diane first, and she's going to spend a couple minutes helping define some things on prophecy. This is all yours, ma'am.
These lights are so terrible. Well, I don't know about prophecy, but prophetic. Let's define prophetic. What does it mean to be prophetic? It just simply means knowing the voice of God. Knowing the voice of God can change everything in our daily lives. And it's relationship. It's not something that we do. It becomes something that we are. We're in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Being prophetic is hearing his voice like he's your best friend. And you can be prophetic in parenting your kids. Knowing the voice of God gives you strategy. It gives you clarity. You can have strategy for parenting for your children. Strategy to know how to pray for them, when to pray for them, when they need protected. Strategy to know when to maybe keep them from trouble. Strategy to know when to encourage them. And we can use the prophetic in our marriages. When to encourage our spouse, when to pray for our spouse. We can use it in our daily jobs. People talk about promotion or being in the right place at the right time. Strategy to know maybe how to bless a coworker, how to speak to your boss. Strategy in the grocery store. Clarity of mind, a peace in your mind, knowing that you know the voice of God is prophetic. And it's actually more simple than we realize. Being prophetic in your business, if you have a business, knowing when to make a deal, when to walk away. It's just simply encouraging, exhorting, and edifying, whether you're talking to one person, a friend, a relative, or before a body of believers. It works either way, or in prayer, if you want to come Tuesday nights.
Yeah, so Diane summarized very well. I won't repeat a lot of what she said because I feel the same. I'll just add a few slight nuances. I do think when we hear the word prophecy, it's a little mysterious, and maybe we get a picture in our mind of the prophet, you know, who's foretelling the future, you know, and calling you out in a crowd and giving you a word. And that's certainly an aspect of it. But, you know, and like Diane said, I think it's really quite simple. You know, God didn't mean for things of the kingdom to be complicated. I mean, Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke in parables because he wanted the simple man to understand. He didn't want it to be complicated to where, you know, you need to have a theological degree to understand it. You know, and so what I find is, you know, to me it's a walk with the Lord. It's a relationship. And so I talk to him, he talks to me. It's sort of like the relationship I have with my wife. You know, Scripture talks so much about draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. It doesn't make sense to me that we would draw near to someone and they would not speak to us. You know, the Bible talks about that God's eyes search to and fro for hearts that are fully committed to him. You know, there's Scripture that talks about that God is drawn to the humble and the brokenhearted. And so I believe when he's drawn to us in that state, you know, he wants to speak to us. And there are different ways that he speaks. And the Old Testament, primarily prophets, when they spoke, it was either about the coming Messiah or it was about some judgment that was coming. You know, that's kind of how that went. You know, but really, you know, today, certainly there can be God speaking about things around the world or at a national level. God could be speaking at a local level to a church, but he could also be speaking to an individual through you, or he could be speaking to you directly. There's many different ways. And two, I think we need to be understand that, you know, hearing from God personally should never replace his word, right? His word, if you ever think, well, I can't hear from God, go, you know, we should always be in his word, because his word is prophecy, right? It's his word. It's his message, his love letter to us. It's his pursuit of us from Genesis to Revelation. It's Jesus pursuing us. But we also have this relationship with him where he does speak to us. And, you know, and it takes different looks to it. You know, I don't ever try to categorize things and say, well, that was a word of knowledge or that was a word of wisdom. I just don't do that. Or, you know, to me, it's God speaking to me however he wants to. And I'm open to it. And I do believe, too, the Bible talks about to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. I think it's so critical that we guard our heart. I just know through experience at times that I've allowed things into my soul, into my heart. I'm in times where I'm anxious and I'm stressed. It is more difficult to hear the voice of the Lord. The Bible talks about be clear-minded and sober-minded so that you can pray. There's an aspect of being still before him and getting in his presence and turning off our brain, right? It really unlocks, you know, be still and know that I'm God. It's in that time that we can really receive from him and hear more clearly. And I think God, he speaks through different ways. A lot of times with me, it's through pictures and things. And sometimes it's a word, you know, and so don't try to, you know, have like the ideal, this is how God speaks. He speaks however he wants to, you know, it's totally up to him. It's about us being open and being sensitive. Oftentimes during worship, I'll just say, Jesus, what are you saying? What's on your heart? And he'll show me. This morning he said transformation. And I saw a pulpit on fire. And he said to me, I want my church to come out and to be noticed. I want my church to come out from kind of being in the status quo and be noticed. That was a simple thing. I just asked Jesus, what's on your heart? Let me give an example of how a word from God can dismantle a lie of the enemy. So, as many of you know, Hannah's in Montana right now, and she's at a YWAM campus out there. And before she had left, you know, we've been having some father-daughter discussions, and she had mentioned to me that You know, when Hannah was younger, she would have dreams. That's another way God speaks to us. Oftentimes, another way God speaks to me is sometimes I'll wake up at like 4 a.m. and immediately I get a word from God. And I always know it's like I have a lot of confidence in that because one thing, my mind isn't really functioning. And it's like, so when I get that, it's like, wow, it must have been God. But anyway, you know, she would used to have dreams and hear from God and all these things. And she would write music. It was just really wonderful when she was younger. But then she reached a point where all that stopped. And she was talking to me about it before she left. And she said, I just don't think, you know, that I can hear from God anymore. And I didn't know what to tell her. I kind of told her what I'm telling you. I said, well, I believe it's God wants, he's pursuing us. He wants to speak to us. He's not hiding from us. You know, but it's, you know, it's something, anyway, so that's kind of where it was. So she goes to YWAM. She's out there. And it's just a time away, and they have what they call practicing his presence. It's sort of similar to our encounter nights here where they just come together, and they're just not supposed to, there's no prayer. It's just resting in his presence and listening to God. And she said she was in one of those meetings, and there was a guy who's kind of like a leader on the campus, and he came up to her, and she was a little intimidated because here's this guy, you know, who's, you know, this leader over the whole campus, and he comes up to her. And he said, God just wants me to tell you that you believe that you've been overlooked by him. And she began bawling. And it's like at that moment, God wanted to deliver a message to her. So he delivered it through this man. And at that moment, you know, Hannah told us the story. She said there, it's like a lie of the enemy was totally dismantled and was destroyed. And she said, and he told her, he said, you're not overlooked. God has not overlooked you. You can hear from him, and he wants to speak to you. And she said at that moment, and that's the thing, you know, the scripture talks about, you know, the prophecy, or once again, just a message from God, it exhorts. Right, it destroys lies of the enemy that have been deeply implanted in your soul that you believed. And so at that moment, she was like, you know, she grabbed a hold of that, and she said, yes, I'm not overlooked, that God does speak to me, and I can hear from him. And then she said, it was like things just opened up to her. All of a sudden, she started seeing visions, and God started giving her words for people, and they're praying for each other, and she's like, now it's like, I can't take it all. It's like a flood. And so you see why it's so important that we don't neglect these things. And I will say this too. Especially, you know, when we're receiving a word for ourselves from God himself, that's one thing. When we're giving a word to someone else, there should be a great amount, I want to say, fear of the Lord in that. I always tremble when I'm giving a word to somebody. Because it's a weighty thing. It's not something that we should be afraid of in the sense of stepping out and doing it. But it really should be something that we don't do lightly. Right? I think that makes sense. I think we've seen that been abused before. So certainly, you know, there's a sensitivity that we develop. And sometimes, you know, we have times of, sometimes I practice in my home. It's always easiest to practice on your family because they'll give you a lot of grace. And so I've, you know, like Diane says, I've prayed a lot over my children over the years, just a lot of prayer. And I, you know, I there's just been times when Luke was up in Indianapolis, you know, and he's up on campus, and you know, when our children go away from home, we don't know what atmosphere they're in and whatnot. And, you know, there are many times that I would pray, and I would pray myself to sleep at night because, you know, just covering. And I would have dreams at night, you know. And the next day I would go down in my prayer room, and I would pray strategically like Dan's saying. And God wants to show us those things. He wants to give us a method to pray. But, you know, it's about each one of us realizing. And I believe, I just want to say, each one of you in this room, it's available to you. It's not select few. It's not for those who have the titles. It's not for those who, you know, have walked perfect through life. It's available to all of us. It's part of our relationship that we have. So anyway, just hope you're encouraged by that.
Well, and let's see. Yeah, I was waiting till the end. Okay, so if we think about our personalities, what I've learned is that there's four types of prophetic personalities, the way in which the Lord speaks to us. And pretty much everybody, not pretty much, everybody fits into one of these categories, or maybe two or more. The first one would be the seer. The seer has visions. They have dreams. Often you can have vision for the moment for someone who you're with, but often they have a vision for life that it takes a lifetime to fulfill. And sometimes not knowing the difference between the now vision and the lifetime vision, you'll feel frustration trying to make the lifetime vision for now, when now you need to allow the Lord to prepare you for that day when the vision is fulfilled. Then there's the hearer. They hear the word of the Lord. They're the ones who are, I woke up this morning and God said this, and I got in my car and God said this, and I got to church and the worship music and God said this, and they're on a journey, and the people around you are like, get to the point. It would be really good for people who are hearers to journal. And then when you get to the end of your journaling, you learn how to sum up when you're talking in conversation with people. And then there's those who are the feelers. They feel everything, and they can feel the heart of God. They can feel the love of God for somebody. They can feel the compassion of God. You can walk into a room if you're a feeler, and suddenly maybe you'll feel fear. You'll be afraid where you weren't afraid before. You're feeling somebody else in the room who's maybe suffering from fear, or you'll feel anger. Somebody's angry, and if you begin to ask the Lord about these things, he can show you who's afraid. And you can take that and you can release a word of hope or release a word of love, encouragement. And sometimes you feel like you're not validated. People who are feelers, their emotions tend to be like this. But as you begin to learn how you're hearing the Lord, how you're discerning, and you can become more stable in that. And the Lord wants to validate you today. If you're a feeler, he just wants you to know that you are normal and you're not imagining these things. And if you're a knower, some people are just a knowers. You're going through life. You have a light bulb moment. You just suddenly know. You can't explain how. You just know that you know. It's more of like an intuitive thing. To be intuitive means the ability to know something without direct evidence or reasoning. And that is still a prophetic word. And the knowers tend to feel like the least spiritual in the room, because it doesn't come with a lot of fanfare. You're not the one saying, I saw this, God did this, and there's not all this excitement. You just know. But you're still very spiritual, I encourage you today. So you can be one, you can be all. There's just many ways. And it's your personality. It's how God made you, how he created you. And that's the way he'll speak to you and speak through you.
All right, my turn. So if you have your Bibles, we are still in 1 Corinthians. We're not, actually. We're going to go Ephesians 6, and then we'll start there. But, okay, so thanks for Tim. Thanks for Diane. I just want you to hear the heart. Tim's been a leader in this church for a long time, and a couple weeks ago, I had embarrassed him. He told me I didn't, but I get overwhelmed to realize some of the giftings that we have in this church. You know, I try not to miss Monday nights because I learn so much from the guys that are there. We have leaders, and they won't let me go to women, so I can't learn from them. But well, we're not that kind of church, okay? So we still have those boundaries. We still do. I identify as a man. I'm going to stay that way. So, but either way, we have great leaders that prepare the word. And on Tuesday nights, Diane has a group of people, and I wish I could even come more. I mean, sometimes we're doing connect groups. We're so blessed to have leaders that hear the word and then also love to share with you. But my heart is that if you would like to learn more and be more in part of the prophetic culture of what we're doing, we see a lot of things being released, spoken of, and done on Tuesday nights. There's teaching going forth. There's prayer going forth. There's encounters going on. There's different things that we do at the church, just not on Sunday mornings too. We are going to talk about this, that we do believe there's a place for prophecy on Sunday mornings. We're going to talk about more of that next week. But today is more just kind of an overview and getting you encouraged that every one of you can walk out of this room here in a few minutes and say, I am anointed of God. I'm a child of God. I can hear from him and I can speak on behalf of him. But I think what Tim said was wonderful. In fear and trembling. I believe that one of the greatest lacks that happen in a spirit-filled environment is that we get casual with the word of God. We walk around, and we used to call them parking lot prophets, where you walk out, and there's no accountability. You just want to spout out something because you felt it. Well, you know, you might be a feeler, but there's ways to do it that can encourage you, strengthen you, but also those around you, like Hannah, needed someone to walk up to her and give her just that timely word. It was a rhema word of God. I'll get to in just a second. We have the ability right now as church, as believers, to hear God. And Tim said something, he did a good job summarizing. But what he said when I was talking to him yesterday, he says, prophecy to me is simply this. I connect with God, and he shares things with me. And I can share it with others. I thought that's so simple. I just connect with God. If you want to and you long to have a voice to hear from God and to hear from God for others, the way that you hear him is you connect with him. You know, there are people in this church that I have the privilege of talking to on a regular basis, but I can tell you there's been tragedies that has happened in our body that I know that there are people who, and I didn't hear about it until afterwards. I wish I would have heard more. Maybe I could have done something more on my end. But there are people who do see things and hear things. And there's a lot of awesome giftings. But I want you to, this morning, as we're going to pray, and I'm going to release something over you in just a minute, I want you to dig deep in your spirit and realize that we are called to be a prophetic church. But that means we're called to be prophetic believers. That means we can see the world around us from a perspective of God and not our natural ideas. We can speak to things around us on the perspective of what God is saying, not what we're saying. You want to go ahead and change the way you talk? Hear God speak it. Jesus said this about his own language. What? I don't say anything unless if I hear my Father say it. Do you know how much trouble I would have avoided in my life just if I practiced that principle? I'm looking out right now. I am the guy who is like Peter. I just take a foot, put it in my mouth, and go, why in the world did I do that again? It's my biggest downfall in my life. I wish, I'll get that done for you. And then a month later, I thought you were going to do that. I really wanted to. And it's, why? Because some of you are wired like me, and some of you are like, some of you right now are going, oh, I've been the other end of that. Yes, I've been the one going, why didn't it get done? Thank you. I expose myself all the time. There you go. So either way, prophecy is simply hearing God and releasing it, knowing God and knowing his heart for somebody. And by the way, as Diane shared those, we were talking the other day about it. Those four personalities, I like the way you said that, the four ways that we hear and experience God, some of you are dreamers. Some of you can see things, and you know, and I woke up this morning and God was telling me, I'm like, really? Do you really talk to God that much? And like, yeah, I know his voice like this. That's awesome. But other of you going, that's weird. But then you wake up and you have this overwhelming sense of a feeling and emotion, you're like, oh, that's God too. Stop trying to compare yourself the way, it's kind of like personalities. There are days that I wish I've told this being a high I personality is great in some circumstances, but boy, I would love to change that some days too and be like somebody else. We're not. Love who God made you and be it. And same thing when it comes to the voice of the prophetic. If you're a seer, go and ask the Lord to show you more. If you're a hearer, go ahead and press into the heart of God and let him speak to you more. If you're a knower, go ahead and know him so well that you just know it and you're going to know things. You can believe, you can walk in this. So I'm going to summarize this by sharing it a little bit different, and that is when there's two ways that prophecy is defined. One is to foretell. I'm really not going to focus on a lot of that right now because it's pretty self-explanatory. When you walk up to somebody and say, God showed me that, you know, boom, and you have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, it's to foretell something that hasn't happened yet. And that's a lot of times we're like, oh, that's a prophet. That's part of prophecy. One of our very good friends pastors a church down in South Carolina, actually Georgia now, and he's a prophet. I can listen to that. I wish I could. If I was going to want to go listen to somebody online, I listen to him. One of the greatest preachers I've had the chance. He's been in Martinsville a handful of times. He's a really good friend of ours. And this man is a prophet, but when he preaches the word, there's something that he expounds on. I've maybe heard him give a personal word a handful of times in his life, but there's something about the way he views the word, a revelation he receives that's very prophetic in a way. It's amazing. Let's stop limiting God that prophecy is just knowing the future. It's also knowing him. And it's to be able to tell forth what he's saying. So let's look at a couple scriptures, and I'm going to close. Let's look at, first of all, Ephesians 6. This is talking about the armor of God. It talks about putting on the helmet and all these things that we do. Let me get over there. Galatians, Ephesians, you're next. And then after it talks about the stand, therefore, in verse 14, having your loins girded with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod, you got good shoes on. You're above all taking up the shield of faith. And I don't really have time to go in there, but above all, why? Because we do everything by faith. Faith is the substance of things. Kenny just did a couple weeks on it too. We are to walk by faith, and that's when we see the results. And by the way, the most prophetic, spirit-filled voice is a faith-filled voice. Let me say it again. The most prophetic voice is a faith-filled voice. If you're going to release a word from God, it better be full of faith. Because if you come in there with doubt and insecurity and fear and, I don't know if it, come on, release in faith, believing that God spoke it. Otherwise, don't say it. And then believe that when you speak to the mountain or you speak to something to be there that wasn't there, whatever it is, calling those things to be not as they were, whatever you want to, what verse you want to use, when you start speaking and declaring things in faith, you got to believe it. That's prophecy. That's the reason why I want to say, why are you prophetic? Because I'm a faith guy. I'm a healing guy. I believe in these things. Why? Because I believe in the word of God. I'm going to get to it in just a second. And when the word of God comes alive in me and I release it, that's prophecy too. I'm going to prophesy over my body. I'm going to prophesy over my mind. I'm going to prophesy over my work. I'm going to begin to speak the word of God. I'm jumping ahead of my notes. Okay, let's get back to verse 6. Above all, taking up the shield of faith. That's the power that we have as believers. And it quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. And to take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, when we talk about which is the word of God, the sword of Spirit, which is the word of God, that word there is where Rhema Bible College gets its name, but it's not. That's not where Rhema goes. It's what Paul uses here. The Rhema means literally the spoken, I love this, the revealed utterance by a living voice. That's what the Strong's Dictionary says. By a living voice. Who's the living voice that we're hearing? God. His Spirit speaks to us, and it becomes life to us, and we'll release that word. Now, Rhema can be something that was written first or heard first, or it was a dream, or I don't care what it was, but Rhema is the spoken oracle utterance of God over your circumstances. And it says right here, take up the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword that you have? The only offensive weapon you have is prophecy. It's the word of God released by the Spirit of God inside of you. Take up the sword of Spirit, which is the word of God, which is the prophetic voice that you have that can go ahead and conquer everything. And when we start looking at these things right now, we start realizing that prophecy is the offensive weapon the church needs to use to win battles. Whether you're praying over a circumstance, you can prophesy into that event. You can prophesy with the word of God that you have and stand on that and see the victory come to pass. If you're praying for your children, you're praying for your, it doesn't matter, whatever you're praying for your body. You learn in faith to declare and speak. That is your offensive weapon to believe. And we prophesy to those bodies. We prophesy to those dry bones. So I don't care what scripture you want to use. We learn to speak to those things as an utterance of God and a mouthpiece to see change happen. The second one, and the second part of that is not only is it going to be something we hear, but something we read. And this is where I believe the power of healing comes. The power of believing God's word. God says in his word these certain promises, then why are you not prophesying over your body right now those words? If God says it, he is not a liar. And if our body or our finances or our relationships or whatever you're going through is not lining up with what God said, who's right? Well, it's probably God. And so we need to learn how to use the word of God as a weapon of change in our relationships. I was in a conversation the other day with someone who's battling a disease. It's serious. And as I was praying for them, I called and asked how they were doing. And they made the comment, I struggle some days. And this is, and while I was on the phone, I heard this comment, which, by the way, I'm going to expose something. If you say this in front of me, I'm going to smile because I love and I have a graciousness about me. This person happened to be my mother, so I didn't have any grace. I just spout off my response quickly. And she says, well, ultimately, I know that I heard the word of the Lord. I believe I'm healed. I believe this. And boy, I'm like, yeah, I'm getting excited. Like, all right, Mom, I got you. And then she goes, well, ultimately, I know God is in control of it all. Whoa, stop there. Those that are around me long enough, I do not believe that if you're going to start walking in faith, do you know how the words God is in control comes across mostly? It mostly comes across when you're like, well, if nothing else happens, I know God's in control. And if I die, you know, it becomes almost a way out of faith. Do you know who's in control? And so I begin to say, Mom, hold on. I'm sorry, Mom, don't let this go on air. She watches these things. Mom, I love you. I promise. I'm not. Either way, she loves me, I hope. But anyway, she, I'm her favorite. No, okay. I have two siblings that live in this town. I better stop. Okay, so anyways, the hole I dug is really deep right now. But what I said, whoa, we know. What you just spoke is your destiny. What you heard in faith is your reward. And when you stand on the word of God, there is no such thing as, well, ultimately, I know God's in control. No. What he gave you was a word from God. My mom was told, right when the doctor gave her another bad report, I'm going to deliver you through my strong hand, and I'm going to deliver you from this sickness. So you heard the Lord speak to you in the middle of the trial. You already had his word beforehand. You've already seen tumors released. You've already seen all these things. I believe you got to stand. And why? Because God gave us authority when he left the earth. God says, all authority I give to you. So what authority does God have on the earth over your body now? The amount of authority that you exercise. God gave us the power. God gave us the authority on this earth to subdue it, to reign, to rule, to have a power over. And so when we sometimes use these excuses, where, well, you know, it's all going to work out, but ultimately God will have his way. God's going to have his way because you performed the work and the word. You prophesied the word of God into existence in your life. And I'm not here to criticize anybody. And actually, my mom stopped but real quickly. She goes, that's not what I meant, but thank you for saying that. Because what I meant was, ultimately, I know the word of God. And we had a great talk, by the way. I need to be careful. I don't. My mom is standing in faith over her healing. It's awesome to watch. And she even said that her last doctor appointment, they walked in, they go, well, said, how are you feeling? She goes, I feel great. She goes, I kind of feel bad for feeling so good. And the doctor goes, you shouldn't be feeling this way. And I said, well, your markers are high. These marks are high. But I can't find anything on the scans. But the scans should show you should be dying. And my mom said to her, I feel great. And I said, Mom, you're living in faith, believing that your body is already healed. Don't worry about what the scans are showing. So this is exciting. So my mom is, I don't want you to feel, she really is, and that's why I call her often, just to continue to encourage her in that faith, because I don't want her to feel like she's alone battling this. And that's the thing, if you know people battling it, battle with them, stand with them, speak the word. If you don't have that, then why don't you go ahead and give them like healing scriptures. There's CDs, there's books. Give this to them. Let their mind be renewed in this truth, because why? It gives them, as Tim was saying, when you fill your mind with what comes in, will come out. And if you start putting healing scriptures only in your mind, and you start feeling pain, what are you going to do? You're going to quote healing scriptures. You're going to start speaking the word over your circumstance, and that is prophecy. I'm just trying to be so basic, because I told you, we don't want to leave. We hear this word prophetic church, and we think, what is it? It's just simply knowing God, knowing his word, and releasing it in power and faith, believing that it'll accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. Does that make sense? So I'm going to table everything else for next week because I didn't get my notes, but because I want to get next week we're going to start here. I'd say the other thing about prophecy is that the fruit of prophecy is it corrects, it loves, it encourages. There's so much fruit of. So next week we're going to talk about the fruit of prophecy in your lives and the people around you. In the fruit of it. So if the worship team wants to come up, I'm sorry, I'm really, you guys can come up. I should have given you the warning like 3 minutes ago. But either way, thanks for Diane sharing, thanks for Tim. But hear my heart today. When I say the thing about God is in control, you do understand, if you grew up like I did, that was the thing that we said when we knew that bad things were just going to ultimately happen, and it was a way to say, well, God's in control, at least I'll go to heaven one day and be healed there. That's not what I want you to leave here with. God has given you authority over all sickness, disease. He's given you authority over all. The word all means all. He has given that to you now. And so you are to, Matthew 28, all authority I give unto you. Jesus was leaving the earth. His last thing he said was, now in this authority, I want you to go. Let's just for fun. Because while they're warming up, because they need a little extra. Mark 16, let's just go there because this is really good. And they need a little extra time. No, they don't. Okay, but verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every Christian. He that believes shall be baptized and saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. If they take up any deadly serpent or drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's what authority looks like on the earth today. Jesus says, because Matthew 28 says, all authority has been given to you. Why? Now, those that believe that the authority they've been given will go out and do these things. They'll lay hands on the sick. They'll cast out devils. They will, I told you stories about people we traveled with in different countries where they've had poison and God has healed their bodies and entire villages were saved because the miracle that God had in their life. When we choose to walk this way, walk with a perspective that we are faith-filled, our words that we prophesy are full of faith and believing. You see, we can't separate the two. This is where I had such a great talk with them these last few weeks about this. A message that we believe in speaking the word of faith and prophecy actually go hand in hand. Prophecy, because do you know that one of the founder of Rhema, Kenneth Hagin, have you ever heard the prophecies that he's had? There's things coming up. I just read something this week that someone said, this is what Kenneth Hagin said 30 years ago. We don't need to stop trying to divide the church with labels and labels and labels and say, listen, we are a prophetic church. What does that mean? We are people who believe, know God, have a relationship with God, hear God, and speak forth the word of God in every circumstance we're in. That's a prophetic church. We're spirit-filled. Amen? So as I stand, I'm going to pray. If you wouldn't mind standing your feet this morning, I'm going to pray over you, and then I'm going to have the prayer team come up there, and they can release some things for you too. And next week, we're going to do a little bit more of this. Just give you a heads up. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you this morning that as we've heard from different voices, that prophecy that you written in this word right here is simply us knowing you. And so today, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you just would just press in right now. Just receive this. Every word that you have received in the past has not come to pass. I pray right now that you'll break the power of false expectation, of where there's been disappointment because things have not been done like we see, that we would not allow the past failures of others or ourselves to hinder us from pressing in to the future of what we are to do as prophetic voices. Where we have seen people blow it, where we have seen people miss it, where we have been missed ourselves, where there has been just struggle in our own lives. Today, Lord, I pray that you would just remove those barriers from our life today. We've all been around someone or even ourselves who have missed it. So today we forgive and release those things, and we're not going to blame you, God, for not doing it. We just realize there's things that have happened in our life or others that has caused this to go away, and we stand on your word right now. We believe right now that we all have the ability. I have the ability to hear from you, to see from you, to to feel from you. And I pray today that you would unlock every single one of us. I pray there's an impartation even from your word. That's prophecy. Moses came down from the mountain and there were people speaking, and they went to Moses and said, Moses, how can you allow this? He goes, it's not, God is not a respecter. I want you all to prophesy. It's not just me. He can speak through all of you. And I pray today that that's the revelation that we receive. God, you can speak to me. First and foremost, every one of you, I just release this to you. God can and will and wants to commune with you. He wants to show you things. He wants to tell you things. He wants to let you see things. He wants you to feel the things that are important to him. Open your senses, I pray, to the God today. Let the Holy Spirit do something awesome starting this very moment. So, Lord, I am willing to hear again. I'm willing to see again. I'm willing to feel again. I'm willing to let those disappointments go to the wayside right now. And I want a fresh voice, a fresh vision. I want to hear you and see you and know you like I never have as I walk out this place today. We break the power of those things the enemy has been holding you down with, and we release a new vision, a new excitement and passion to hear and to see and know the voice of God in your life today. And then you will be able to release it not only over your life, but those around you. And the church will be built up and encouraged because of you. So we pray right now, as Moses did, I wish it all. I pray all of you, as Paul said right now, I want all of you to prophesy. I want you all to speak the word of God, hear the word of God, know the word of God, feel the word of God alive in you today in the name of Jesus. As we're closing in worship today, as the worship team is praying, I want you to press into this. If you keep pressing in, Lord, there's also many people coming up to pray today. If you just want something, you feel like, hey, I'm struggling, let someone stand with you and pray over you today. And as we worship and close in the name of Jesus, amen.
You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. To